I'll be back.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi, Dee.
Hi, Tom.
Happy Pentecost in a few hours from when we're beginning to work on this.
Exactly.
This is Catholic Vitamins. This is Catholic Vitamin
P.
For pectoral. Pectoral. It has an E on the end. I would not have thought that. And so I think it comes from the Latin, maybe pectoral. Pectorali?
That's the way I would have pronounced it.
Well, there you go. Born a Methodist, but now pronouncing Latin words. Well, and what this refers to, of course, is the special cross that is worn by a bishop. And we are so blessed today on Catholic Vitamins to have with us His Excellency Bishop Jorge Rodriguez, the Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of Denver, my old ordination stomping grounds. Dee, you and I spent many, many hours at the diocese as we went through formation for 4 years.
Exactly.
Yeah. We were ordained. I was ordained by Archbishop Charles Chaput, and Bishop Jorge was, at the time that we were going through formation, he was one of our professors. He is well-liked, very well-liked, highly respected. He favors deacons quite a bit. And we're going to be talking to him today about the question of immigration. And we'll come back to that a little bit later in the show.
You know, all you have to do is mention deacon formation, and my mind goes back, and I picture the seminary, the grounds, the hallways, the chapel, everything that we were a part of.
I remember passing His Excellency Archbishop Chaput in the halls many times. He would be busy talking with someone, but he would always acknowledge you. And after a while, I guess he got to know some of our names. I mean, he was a wonderful bishop. And so we were very blessed by our time in Denver.
And this is episode 383 for the World Wide Web, and episode 29 for our local radio station.
Thank you, dear, for that.
KPIH 98.9.
In Payson, Arizona, 98.9, as Dee said. So one of the things we wanted to talk about in prattle today is adoration. Every Friday in our parish, we have all-day adoration. It starts right after morning mass and goes until 4:30 in the afternoon, when most often Deacon Tom does evening prayer at 4:30 and the close of adoration by benediction about 4:45, 4:50 or so. And the pastor has put out in the new sign-up sheet for adoration, and the church requires that there be two people present for adoration. Excuse me. And so I saw the sign-up sheet this morning, and I see there's still some vacancies.
Especially in the early morning hours.
Yeah. So he's made clear that if there are not two people to cover a shift, we'll say that that the Blessed Sacrament has to be reposed. And I hate to have that happen. Adoration, dear friends, is the real presence of Jesus exposed and waiting for time with us. And I don't know why this came to me this morning. Dee, do you remember some time ago on Catholic Vitamins, we did the Eucharistic bumper stickers?
Yes.
The Eucharist?
Yes.
The real presence of Christ?
Yes.
Excuse my voice. Well, we've, over the years, given those bumper stickers away on Catholic Vitamins, and we've offered them in our parish. And every once in a while, I'll see one on a car, and it just makes me feel so very good. Not that we did this. I mean, it came from an inspiration from somebody else and from the Holy Spirit, speaking of Pentecost. But I saw one down in the valley one day. Now, that's 90 miles away from us. It could have been somebody who goes to church up here and saw one of those bumper stickers. But I've been thinking about the idea of Catholic Vitamins doing a new bumper sticker for adoration. And I was trying to think this morning as I was preparing some prattle thoughts about what we could say on a bumper sticker for adoration. And maybe our listeners who hear this over time might think of some words that we could put on a bumper sticker. Larger letters, adoration, my weekly meeting with Jesus. Or another example might be adoration, he's really there, you know.
I like that one.
Adoration, the silence that speaks volumes.
I like that one too.
So we're going to spend some time thinking about this. I hope that Dee and I will remember to do this on a couple subsequent episodes of Catholic Vitamins as a reminder. And whether you're local here in our Arizona community or if you hear us on the World Wide Web, we would like to sponsor some adoration bumper stickers, and we'll make them available to any listeners to Catholic Vitamins, whether local or throughout the world. So if you have any creative thoughts, any interesting thoughts for a bumper sticker for adoration, send your idea to catholicvitamins@gmail.com, and we will try to some way give you credit for this if we use your idea. Dear, I think we're ready for our first break. That's our old standby, Dee. Well, she's not old. Audrey Assad.
No, she is definitely not old.
What a great friend to Catholic Vitamins and a great, beautiful voice, a talent, a gift from God for sure. And that's from her previous album, not the one that is currently out, but her previous album where she did a lot of old Christian standards. She does them so beautifully. Lead, Kindly Light.
Yes.
Dee, you may know that I'm going to the Catholic Charismatic Conference down in Phoenix. How timely that it is held on the weekend of Pentecost. Now, some people may be hearing this days, perhaps weeks after Pentecost, but I seek the gifts of the Holy Spirit in my own life, the renewal of them, the refreshing of them, and I pray for them for others. So there'll be a lot of praise and worship this weekend, and there'll be confessions and mass with another auxiliary bishop from Phoenix. And I hope to see some familiar faces and say hi to some folks. Remember, a year ago, the nuns from Texas came and went to that conference.
Oh, that's right. They stopped to visit us.
They did. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Dee, I think you said you had some...
Well, you just mentioned familiar faces. That reminds me
that
our good friend Sandy is back with us this time.
Oh, Sandy.
We've been missing her for quite a few episodes.
Yeah, we'll play her a little later in the show and explain why she's a special person in our life and on Catholic Vitamins.
Also, might mention, we heard from Mary Delaney, and she received the CD we sent her, the Holy Shock CD, which is Mother Miriam's conversion story.
I've just had good feedback on that, and I've listened to that story a couple times, Mother's story about her journey. Lord, I wish I could do a Jewish accent. You know, you couldn't possibly be calling me to the Catholic Church. Well, Dee, before we bring up our special time and our special guest, I want to say that we're facing these days in politics in our country were facing division about the issue of immigration. And I'll be very frank, as a deacon, I personally conflicted. We were formed in the church through our deacon formation to welcome any and all immigrants. They are seeking relationship with the Lord God and the church and the sacraments as anyone else is. But there are other issues, of course, that can conflict us about how to deal with this. Dee, you and I know the story of a lady in Estes Park, Colorado. She was one who came into the country, and I'll be honest, I don't even know now today whether she was someone who crossed illegally.
I hope it was legally.
Yeah, but I know that when she first came to the community, she was seeking help from our food service. She needed food, and she needed some help with utilities and a few other things. And we were workers at Crossroads Ministry, and for a while I was on the board, and I know that we helped her. But the very interesting thing about her, do you remember her first name?
Olga.
Olga. You remember the very first thing that I remember about her was after she got help, she started working at Crossroads.
She started
as a volunteer.
She started volunteering because she wanted to give back.
She wanted to pay back. And the story didn't end there. She worked and worked, got jobs. And I know there was a lot of marginally employed and people who just were not paid very well. But she worked through all this. And over the years, she was able to save a little bit of money. And what did she do, Dee?
Bought a restaurant.
She bought a restaurant in a very nice place in Estes Park.
Which is going strong to this day.
It really is. She must have been the owner now for, what, 6 years, seven
yes,
years,
yes,
10 years?
Yes, we go in there several times, every time we're back there to visit.
So, dear friends, hear that story about someone who came to live the American dream. Again, we don't know whether Olga was permitted into the country or whether she came otherwise. But once here, I ministered to her as a deacon, and the community ministered to her through the equivalent of a St. Vincent de Paul food bank sort of operation that we had in Colorado. And she paid back, she gave back to the community through her service, her free service to that to Crossroads Ministry. And now she's a restaurant owner and employing others, which is important for us to hear.
Yeah, and it's kind of an unusual situation there in Estes Park. It's a tourist town, summer tourist town.
Right.
And all during the summer months, spring to fall, a lot of these people that come in or got low-paying jobs, but they've got good jobs to keep them going through the summer months. But then once the tourist season kind of winds down, hotels, motels, they cut back on their hours and their staff. And then these people are left to fend for themselves for the rest of the winter, trying to figure out how to put food on their table.
Well, not only that, Dee, but I hate to mention this, but there were some episodes of immigrants in coming in to help get help from Crossroads who had things happen to them. They didn't receive paychecks that they were due, and they were stiffed by employers. So it's a really tough area. What I'd like to do now is, after a musical break, we'll bring up our special time with our special guest, His Excellency Bishop Jorge Rodriguez.
Deliver me, oh God.
Next up on Catholic Vitamins, we are very blessed today to have His Excellency Bishop Jorge Rodriguez. He's the auxiliary bishop from Denver, my old stomping grounds, if I may use those words. I was formed in Denver. I was ordained by Archbishop Charles Chaput, and one of our professors was then Father Rodriguez, and he has been described, I did a little research to get ready for today, he's been described as very well-educated. He has a PhD. He is humorous. He's very supportive of deacons, and he's passionate about immigration. And immigration will be the target for our discussion today, although we'll start a little bit earlier. I'll start by saying, Excellency, welcome to our Catholic Vitamins program.
Well, thank you, Mayor. Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome, sir. All right. Well, people would like to know, our listeners would like to know a little bit about where you came from. So if you would share a little bit about your childhood, your family of origin, your early faith life, maybe we could start that way.
Sure. Well, I was born Mexican in the Yucatan Peninsula, Mérida City. A Catholic family. We were raised Catholics. I went to Catholic schools all the time. So I received a Catholic education. We used to practice, let's say, normally Catholic life, namely going to Mass every Sunday and being raised in the Catholic values. With the Maris brothers that I studied with, I received very good formation. And it's when the last year of high school, when a priest came to the school and talked about the priestly vocation. And even though at the beginning I didn't care very much about it, I'm kind of joking with the other classmates. We signed up for a retreat. And this is that's the way this whole story began, very casually. From that retreat, I got to know a congregation, a religious congregation. For a year, I was discerning about joining or at least trying or going to university. So at the end of, I would think it was 1974, I decided to give a chance to vocation. So I went to a retreat, and then 2 months later, I was taking a plane to go to Spain to start my novitiate in Spain. So I studied in Spain for a couple of years, and then I was sent to Rome. And I stayed in Rome for many, many years. I interrupted my formation to the priesthood because I was sent to work in the missions for 4 years. And then I came back to Rome. I was ordained in 1987 by Cardinal Hammer in the city of Rome, in the church by then parish of Our Lady Guadalupe in the city of Rome. And since then, I stayed there teaching, doing ministry as a formator for the religious, academic formator, the prefect of studies. So I've been my whole life in priestly formation. That's what I have been doing for most of my life. Mm-hmm. And then I start teaching at a university, teaching theology at a university. And and became the Dean of Studies of the Regina Apostolorum Ateneum in the city of Rome for philosophy and theology. And in 1999, I decided to move on with my life, so I left the congregation and I became a diocesan priest in the Diocese of Rome. So that was my first incardination. And I was teaching in the city of Rome at the Lateran University or the Gregorian University at the and different institutions. And at the same time, I was appointed associate pastor, parochial vicar in a parish in Rome, in the city of Ostia, that belongs to Rome. Then after that, I saw the opportunity to come to teach to Denver. Denver was opening a brand new seminary, so I met Archbishop Chaput, who invited me to come. I came here. I taught for 3 years, I think. Then I went back to Rome for another 3 years, and I came back here in 2005 and got incardinated in the Archdiocese of Denver. And that's what I said. Then I was appointed the vice rector of the seminary. That is what I did until 2014. And I was appointed pastor of Holy Cross Parish in Thornton, Colorado. And from there, in 2016, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, called me to become the auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of Denver. And more or less, this is the journey that brought me from Mexico through Spain, Rome, to Denver.
So I had in my mind to ask you if you had any period where you were perhaps not so strong in the faith or something that happened that really intensified your faith, but it just seems like a very progressive journey from childhood faith through the beautiful path that you've talked about. Did you have any periods of struggle or questioning the faith?
I would say the faith, probably not. But as you know, when I was a teenager, for sure, now you have your struggles as like a regular teenager, and you try to put some distance from God, no? Mm-hmm. But more than, I wouldn't say because of faith difficulties. I don't think I have challenged my faith. Mm-hmm. Something is hard for me to believe. Or later on, when you study philosophy, when you study theology, for sure you have to challenge, no? Some earlier understandings that you have about the faith. But the more you know about the faith, that with our Catholic faith, the more you get convinced on how sound, how strong it is. And I would say that when dealing with faith, difficulties are great moments for growth, to mature.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Excellency, what's it like to receive a call from, I would guess, a Vatican representative telling you that the Holy Father would like you to become a bishop? Were you nervous, excited, self-doubting about taking on the role?
Oh, for sure. But I have to tell you that when I received the call, my first thought was that one of my friend priests, was pulling my leg, no? Because I think this is a joke. So I start kind of joking about it, no? But then when the conversation was going on, I realized that, well, that is getting serious. And I was, like I suppose anybody else, totally unprepared. It's something it never crossed my mind. It's something I never looked for. I was a happy pastor, and this is what I want to do the rest of my life. So when I realized this is serious, the one who was calling me was the secretary of the Apostolic Nunciature, because the nuncio was out of town. And it was a Polish priest who called me and told me the Holy Father, Pope Francis, wants you to become the auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of Denver. So I was so shocked that not believing this is happening to me, something I didn't want to happen to me. I was not on my radar at all. That after an exchange, I just told him, I don't think I want to do this. So he kind of insisted, saying, it's a long journey to arrive to this point. The Holy Father will be very disappointed if you withdraw or you don't accept the invitation or the... So I was so, let's say, upset in that moment, not angry, just totally confused, that I told him, please give me some time, give me one day to think about it and to pray about it. And he said, well, okay, I will call you back tomorrow and you will let me know. So the whole day, because he told me you can't tell no one about this, it's secret. So you cannot go to anyone else to ask for advice or consolation, and I don't know, so you have to digest it by yourself, with Jesus. So I was upset, I cried, I didn't want it to happen to me. That really turns my life, over completely. And so I was really leaning to say, no, I'm sorry, I'm sure you have hundreds, thousands of men that you can call to do this this mission or to take this mission. But that day when I do my holy hour in the morning, and he was going to call me by 9 or 10 a.m., I don't remember, I felt so much peace in prayer, like Jesus telling me, well, okay, I know you don't want it, but just do it, and I will be with you. So I felt at peace. So when the secretary called me and said, well, okay, I think if the Holy Father thinks I can do it and Jesus will help me, I'll do it. That was the way it was. Yeah.
Gosh, what a... Well, that's very interesting to hear what you would go through and that you couldn't share. You couldn't go to the bishop, then bishop of the diocese and talk to him and get advice. You couldn't talk to other priests or good friends. So,
no, you cannot. Yeah. You are absolutely prohibited, yeah.
Truly, truly, Jesus and you coming to the decision. So it's just wonderful. Well, Excellency, I want to start off the next area of our discussion by quoting from Leviticus. When a stranger, or sometimes seen as a foreigner or alien, sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. The stranger who sojourns with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. These words bring us to the challenge of the day about the DACA issue. We hear lots of figures. We wonder how many children of young adults there are who were brought into the country and who are sort of represented by this DACA status. So maybe we can start there. How big is this issue or this problem?
Well, I think the numbers we have using in the USCCB is around 700,000-800,000, no, DACA, people that have registered to the DACA possibility. That's what I mean. For sure there are more, no, people that have been brought to this country in an early age, very young, that they know no other homeland than this one. That they don't speak even Spanish, or they speak a bad Spanish, that have been raised in the values of this country, that they don't know how to sing the Mexican anthem, the hymn, but they do, that they recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, the whole world for them is called United States of America. And now they fear, or they can see, well, now it seems that we don't belong here. Well, that being... No, growing up, knowing that this is where we belong to. So it's a very unfortunate situation that we have. For sure, the USCCB, I have to say, in this topic, there is a total agreement among the bishops in support of this DACA resolution, in support of this situation that we have with this with the youth that they have no other intention when staying here than to help to make this country better and greater. That's what they have, no? Because this is what they call my homeland. Mexico, for many of them, if not for all of them, is kind of a history in the background, but not reality today. So to see all this youth deprived of this ground where they are, no, stepping on, is very sad. So I don't think there is no way to be on their side, to be supportive, and to do everything we can to make this DACA resolution approved, and eventually to become a path for citizenship for all this. Because if you see the DACA, it's not about enjoying government benefits. It's not about giving you citizenship. DACA is just about allowing you temporarily to work. No, without the fear or the risk of being deported. So I hope that this DACA not only will be approved, but will become really a path for citizenship of all these youths that were brought here to this country in the circumstances that I just explained.
The other related issue of the day, Excellency, is the border security and the integrity of our borders. What's the USCCB position on that?
Well, we have to say that there is a right and is a need for every country, and we have to respect that means to take care of the borders in the sense that, no, borders have a function in the social and political no, citizen of a nation. So we respect those laws, and we respect to have immigration laws, etc., etc. That is fine, and we cannot go against that. We are all for legality, no, for the law. But at the same time, we have to question, okay, building a fence is the solution to the problem, is the best solution to the problem. Are there consequences, negative consequences to it? Because at the end, what is going to produce, first of all, a big spending that we have to question, is this a priority given the needs that we have in our country? Then, you know, it's going to put a lot of women and children, no, in the risk of falling into trafficking. And then we have, human lives will be more at risk. So is this a way to resolve the immigration issue here? Every country in the world have laws and have borders, and they defend their borders. So this is not what is in the question. Is this the best? So I think the USCCB thinks it is not the best way to address the issue. There are other ways that we can try to resolve the problem, the immigration problem, that is not necessary, at least in this moment, to building a fence, a wall, something that is going to divide many communities, both sides of the border, that have been living peacefully for so many years. And now they're going to have a fence passing, dividing them. So the USCCB is, questioning the convenience of this fence. And I would say even more, it's against the building of this fence. Mm-hmm.
So there are some in politics of today who want to combine the two issues, DACA agreement and building a fence or border protection. How do you feel about separating these two issues?
Okay, the two issues are the building fence or the DACA. So we tie one to the other. You know what is the real concern about this? Is that we are missing the point. What we are dealing here with is with human lives, youth, young lives, future. And the other are human lives, sometimes escaping tragedy, escaping situations, unbearable situations in the countries. And those lives can be lost. Many are, as we know, when they try to cross the border, many die. No? So if when we're dealing with this immigration thing, for me, it's not a topic, it's not a theme, it's not an agenda or a politics, it's human lives. We are dealing with human lives. Mm-hmm. And in social Catholic doctrine, the priority, no, after God, is given to human lives. So start playing politics, because this is what is happening. Just not like playing with lives in one sense or in another. That's what is really, that I think, is wrong. Is wrong. Our main concern should be not about political agendas or political strategies, playing games with human lives, but should be what is what we can do, the best we can do, to save, to promote, to help, and to respect the dignity of human lives, being an immigrant, being a resident, being a citizen. Mm-hmm. Because all of us, as the scripture that you read at the beginning, all of us, we are children of God. And as children of our God, all of us have the right to pursue happiness as we have here in our country. And if we can help, I think it's our duty to do it.
Excellency, as we sort of move towards a close, what would you like to see accomplished if immigration reform, the broader issue of immigration reform, is worked on and decided by our government?
What I would like to see, I would like to see all these DACA youth being admitted and being given the path of citizenship. I would like to see an immigration reform in which the laws are able to distinguish the many different situations that we face. I will see this, to see laws that allow families to be together. I would like to see an immigration reform in which workers can come and go, that we have a visa program as we used to have in the past, so they don't have to stay here. Many immigrants came in for work to make some money to help their families and to go back home. Not that what it was. Now, because of the laws, they have not the chance to go back and forth, and many decided to stay, and they break the law. So I would like to see immigration reform in which, in total respect of the human dignity, the right to work, and a very distinctive, and according to the different cases, allow every single human being not the possibility to be here. Does it mean that we are going to give up our laws? No. I would like to see immigration reform in which the laws are applied and are respected, because that is also necessary. That is the common good of our country. But laws that are fair, laws that are in the full respect of the human dignity and the full respect of the family, and then that allow the workers the possibility to go back to their countries and being hired according to the needs of the United States, because we need them to here. I think we cannot deny that.
Well, this has been very educational, and it keeps the focus on people, on safety, well-being, concern for our laws and the people at the same time. So this is very, very helpful. Just to sort of move towards our close, what have you been doing since you've been moved to the position of auxiliary bishop in Denver?
Well, you know, I've been assigned my function here, the vicar for clergy. So the vicar for clergy means I take care of my brother priest, assignment, movements, and everything dealing with the life of the priest, religious sisters. That is my world. That's what I've been trying to do, honestly, since I arrived, that is just for 1 year, I realize that we priests, what we most need the most is prayer. We need to pray. We need people praying for us, because as we are agents of grace, we can do nothing by ourselves. So I've been, since I arrived, we have been improving our spiritual mothers program, by which people, lay people, are praying for the priest. I've been emphasizing as much as I can with my brother priest the need to have a spiritual life, the need to have a prayerful life, the need to have God as our priority. And in this way, what I'm trying to help them. Besides that, I mean, in my office, there is a lot of administration, letters, decrees, and that I have to deal with. So a lot of desk work. That's what I do.
And I know that you are a, if I may say it this way, a priest of the people, Excellency, that you're well-loved in the diocese, and that you enjoyed your pastoral role when you were in a parish. I think you said Thornton.
Thornton.
I used to live up in Estes Park and would occasionally have reasons to be in Thornton and attend Mass there. So I love the area, and I know that the diocese back there is so very blessed. I'm in north central Arizona now, but we get back to Colorado at least one or two times a year. And
You're always welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Excellency. Before we close out our time together, may we ask for your blessing?
Oh, for sure. That is Jesus' blessing. May the Lord bless you, Deacon Tom, and bless everyone, every single person who is listening to this program in the diocese of them, in Arizona and the other places where they listen. And may the Lord bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Our guest on this wonderful and special show that we're doing for Catholic Vitamins has been His Excellency Jorge Rodriguez, the Auxiliary Bishop in Denver. And we have worked quite a while to get this scheduled, but we're very, very grateful for your time today, Excellency. We will keep you in our prayers.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Well, it was a great honor to be able to spend time with His Excellency and to gain his perspective on immigration issues. Dee, you had a little other feedback that you had nearby?
Well, I was just going to, well, first of all, I want to say I hope that we can land an interview with our new bishop for our diocese.
That would be lovely. Yes, yeah, for yeah. sure.
Get so we get to know him as well as everybody else. The one other thing I was going to mention is that we, over the years, have had different podcasts we've each listened to. And one of them that I have listened to ever since it started was Just a Catholic Dad. And this is by Sean McCarney over in the UK. And he just did his 200th episode.
Wow.
Remember how exciting it was when we made our 200th episode?
Yeah. And we're working.
And then our 300th.
We're working now to head towards 400.
So he started his podcast in 2010. So it was just kind of right after we started ours. And so in this 200th episode, he recapped his whole story, his reversion to the church and becoming a father and trying to raise his daughter in the faith when his wife does not have any religious upbringing.
Well, that's nice that you are faithful to his program, and we should send him a note that we're giving him a plug on Catholic Vitamins.
I will.
And we thank him for his faithfulness to the faith and to his family.
He's plugged our show many times on his.
How nice. Well, one of the nice gifts that we've had is the friendship, the knowledge and friendship with Sandy Greggs. Sandy is from back in Pennsylvania, but she used to live in our community. She was a vibrant member of our parish. Mm-hmm. She moved away and later was diagnosed with ALS. Now, she has many challenges that she faces, but she lives alone and she's tried to get a prayer group started. She's tried to do rosary in the home, all of this with her ALS condition.
And she's got a beautiful outlook and beautiful faith.
Yeah, for sure. And one of the gifts is that she is from time to time able to contribute to Catholic Vitamins. And so next up, our time with Sandy.
It doesn't take more than two little kids fighting over one toy to see what human nature is all about. There could be a pile of toys, but they both want the same one. It begins with tug of warmth. Both fiercely clutching the toy with both hands. Talk about coveting your neighbor's property. The fight escalates, and before you know it, they are hitting each other. Can't we give peace a chance? That's when the wailing starts and Mom shows up. After scolding them for not sharing, she finds two similar-looking toys that satisfies them for a while. We aren't born knowing how to share. We want what we want, and we want it now. We fight, finagle, and whine until we get the object of our attention. We learn to at least make a perfunctory attempt to share, but usually with conditions and or boundaries. Me first, and then if there's anything left, maybe you. And so it is with doing God's will. We aren't born with the knowledge of how this works. We say that we want to do His will. We even pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. But do we really want to do His will? I'm not convinced that we do. If it falls in line with something we were doing anyway, then maybe. Or if it is easy to do, our human nature gets in the way of doing God's will. It's much easier to do what the flesh wants than to do something that nourishes the spirit. Like those two little kids fighting over one toy. We want what we want, and we want it now. The Apostle Paul pleaded with God to remove the thorn in his flesh three times. And three times God refused. Paul finally got it. He wasn't being punished. He was being saved from depending on his own strength to get through the tough times ahead. God wanted Paul to depend totally on him. Oftentimes we need more than our own strength to pull us through the circumstances that present themselves. Did I say sometimes? Correction. All the time. Perhaps our prayers should be more in line with God's will. We all pray for healing in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones. And God knows this before we get on our knees. Did you ever consider the fact that an illness, loss of a job, or a broken relationship could be the one thing that is keeping us or our loved ones out of the eternal pit called hell? It could be that the situations that come our way are meant for healing. Someone once said to not judge a book by its cover. Neither should we judge the situations that blow into our lives. It's against our human nature to do this, but the words that Jesus spoke to Paul still ring true today. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.
Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We establish orphanages and help the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other institution. We developed the scientific method and founded the college system. We defend the dignity of human life and uphold marriage. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith. Jesus started our church when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are a rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." So if you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
Well, before that Catholics Come Home promo that we did, the voice that you heard was Sandy Griggs, our friend, doing a reflection on evangelization. In case it's not intuitively obvious, that voice is a recorded voice, a computer-generated voice, which is brought about by the fact that those who suffer from ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, may lose their voice, some of their muscle functions, and as a measure of how strong her faith is and how much she is trying to live out the suffering that she is struggling with, we are so pleased to have her come on the show from time to time.
I'm happy to have her back.
Well, dear.
Are we about ready to wrap up?
We're in our final segment. I do want to say that if there is anybody who follows the foolishness of Deacon Tom on Facebook, I've been doing some reflections, some short reflections on putting on the full armor of God. And I have about 6 or 8 of them that I put on Facebook, sometimes every day, sometimes every other day. And I've, addressed topics like freedom from fear, dread of evil, having full trust in the Lord God. So if you are interested in that sort of thing, please take a look at my Facebook page. Dear, we have any other feedback or anything else to read?
I have no more feedback.
All right. Well, as we move to a close, we do want to do a plug for our giveaways.
You wanted to mention the Medjugorje rosaries.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, that's a giveaway.
Yes.
We have been gifted by a friend of ours who has been a tour guide, a pilgrimage leader to Medjugorje several times, and she has sent us a number of rosaries. We're going to make these available at no charge to friends of Catholic Vitamins. And if you would like a Medjugorje rosary that was present for an alleged apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and which were also blessed by a Medjugorje priest, please send your request. Again, no donation, nothing required. Send your request to CatholicVitamins@gmail.com and just put down Rosary as the subject and give us your mailing information. We'll be happy to do that.
And the books that we've been giving away, I think this will be our last week coming up that we will offer these.
All right. I have one in my hand, The Temperament God Gave You by Art and Lorraine Bennett, the classic key to knowing yourself, getting along with others, and growing closer to the Lord. And you have?
I have The Temperament God Gave Your Spouse.
Why are you looking at me?
The Temperament God Gave Your Spouse.
There you go.
Improve Your Marriage by Understanding Your Spouse by Art and Lorraine Bennett.
So if you are interested in either one of these books, once again, use that same address, CatholicVitamins@gmail.com. We'll be happy to send a copy if Dee draws your name.
And even though I've sent out a few copies of this CD, we still have a couple left. I'm going to keep offering them until they're gone. This is Rosalind Moss, her conversion story. She calls Holy Shock. She's better known these days as Mother Miriam. If you'd like a copy of this CD, just send in an email and request it.
All right. So always lots of reasons for listening to Catholic Vitamins. Sometimes somebody guesses the vitamin ahead of time. It's been a while since that's happened. But we do give a plug at the end of the show. And if you happen to guess correctly, Dee will pull your name. And we usually respond with a very nice follow-up and thank you for participating in the Catholic Vitamins guess.
And speaking of that.
Oh, yes, yes.
The next vitamin will be Catholic Vitamin Q. It will end in Y.
Uh-oh.
Seven letters long. Starts with Q, ends in Y. Take a guess.
All right. Shouldn't be too hard. I mean, how many words could you put in that that construct? And once again, CatholicVitamins@gmail.com. Or if you happen to live in our community, you can call our studio hotline. Maybe there's some people that don't use email even now, or they don't wish to very often. You can call our studio, 928-363-4144, but you'll have to give us your name and contact information and say that you're interested either in the Medjugorje Rosary, the book giveaway, or the Holy Shock CD with Mother Miriam.
Also, since you mentioned talked about this earlier, if anybody has any bumper sticker ideas for adoration wording,
oh yes,
send those in to us.
Yes, please. Thank you for bringing that up, dear, as we end the show. I hope for a couple episodes that we'll have this reminder, and then we'll invest in some bumper stickers and make those available to listeners to Catholic Vitamins. Well, Dee, it's springtime, not in the Rockies, but springtime in the Rim Country, and we are blessed to be heading towards the great Feast of Pentecost, and I hope that our listeners will be blessed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
We are having some beautiful weather, but boy, do we need some rain.
Yeah, we sure do. Thank you for being a friend of and listener to Catholic Vitamins.
Bye.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.
Because you are good. Yeah.